Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is the plan, and this is part two. And we're giving you a gift today, and I'd like you to stay with us, and we'll talk more about that later when we have a bit more time. But right now I'd like to begin a thought set forth by Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of books. And all the dialogue on this show emanates from the literature of Alice Bailey. The one thing which humanity needs today is the realization that there is a plan which is definitely working out through all world happenings, and that all that has occurred in man's historical past and all that has happened lately is assuredly in line with that plan. And we want to go into more depth with the plan, as we started last week, and we'll find out a lot more about it today. We talked in the last program about the plan, and we found out a lot, but let's find out exactly what exactly the plan is, and maybe a recap, and does it allow for free will?
The plan is a concept that is central to the writings of Alice Bailey, absolutely central. And oddly enough, at least it seems a little odd to me, when people first come across this concept, sometimes they feel a little bit frightened by it or skeptical of it. I think it might, if it's presented wrongly, have the connotation of something that's imposed upon human beings. Something that implies there are forces that manipulate. And I suppose if you're a paranoid type of mind, you do tend to look for those hidden forces and powers that are behind the scenes controlling everything. I'm not one that tends to think that way, so it doesn't bother me. But let me stress to our listeners that the plan is held in the mind of God, but not imposed upon humanity. Absolutely not. It's the divine purpose for our planet. It concerns the evolution of our planet. It includes every living thing upon our planet. Mm-hmm. Everything is held within the totality of the plan. The mineral kingdom, the vegetable, animal, and human kingdoms, all of us have a place within the plan. And as we talked last week, the great question mark and the linchpin of the plan is humanity, because we have brains, we have free will, we have the power to decide for ourselves, to choose. So humanity is very much the unknown and deciding factor in the plan.
The idea of a plan shouldn't be too unfamiliar to us, because, I mean, every human being goes through planning. We all make plans for everything, and we plan weddings, and we plan trips and vacations.
I had a brother-in-law who had 10-year plans.
10-year
plans. 10 years at a time. 10 years at a time.
Okay. There you go.
More range.
Well, he worked in the military.
Planning is very important to human life, and we make plans for everything. We draw up plans for buildings and blueprints, and we make plans to design cities, and nations, whole nations are based on planning. So the idea of a plan of God should not be too foreign to us. It should not be too difficult to accept, because God is in the process of creating a big plan here on this planet Earth. And so it's not unthinkable that God would also be working at some building project, just like we in the human kingdom do.
To me, one of the most wonderful aspects of the plan is the realization that every living thing is included within it. I think there are so many people, so many segments of society that feel perhaps left out or overlooked or on the sidelines of the great drama of life, that there are others who seem to have a lot more coming their way. But when you think of the plan and the intended purpose for our world, every human being has a place within that plan. Every person is, in a sense, indispensable. And I find that very comforting and very ennobling. But the crucial thing about the plan is that it is not imposed upon humanity. It's something to which humanity has to freely consent. And that's where the concept of free will comes in. Absolutely crucial is the awareness that we have free will. And that's why freedom, as we've talked in previous programs, why freedom is such a powerful and divine ideal. It's one of the highest ideals that humanity can grasp, but we tend to approach it as liberty or license, and that's not the kind of freedom that we're talking about here. It's the freedom to use one's energies, one's resources, to cooperate with something that's much greater than oneself. That is true spiritual freedom.
Yes, and this freedom, as you say, is so very important because it's way down the line in this plan. It's part of the plan is the eventual liberation, and we have to work our way towards that. And this always we have this free will, to, as you say, to make choices, to make mistakes, and to learn and to suffer for the mistakes we make. And so we learn that the best way to carry us through this whole process. And all along the way, we have the freedom to make mistakes and the freedom to do good.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about the spiritual hierarchy before, and these are the masters of the wisdom who stand behind outer events and guide and prompt human consciousness. They are involved in the plan in the sense that they formulate it and hold it within within an integrated context. The expression I used last week is that they hold it in solution. They have the plan of God in consciousness, and in a sense they hold it in custody for human minds until those minds are ready to grasp it. They give direction, they throw light, they impress those minds that are responsive to these higher ideals. And that would be all people who are open and responsive to ideals such as unity, brotherhood, interrelationship, cooperation, as well as sacrifice, commitment to the common good. These are the qualities that make one receptive to the plan. But the free will comes in that each individual soul has to give its consent to the plan. It has to recognize through experience, through inner intuitive assurance, that there is a design and a plan for the world, and that they are compelled to cooperate with it. And this has to be figured out for oneself. You can't be convinced of this.
No, and the hierarchy is sensitive to this because they are essentially, they have been through the human stage, as we've mentioned before. I think we've discussed this whole idea of the hierarchy. They have been through the human stage. They know all they've experienced the pain and the suffering that we all have. And so they appreciate the need for this free will. And they are now act as mediators between humanity and God, and their responsibility is to work out this plan. They are the builders, actually, on this inner plane, on the inner side. And the humanity is impressed with the next idea that will move things forward in this building project, and that all comes from the hierarchy, from that stage.
I'm constantly redesigning my own plans because they're so faulty, and I try to correct them. But in regard to divinity, in regard to God himself, is the plan fixed or permanently set, or can it be altered also?
Well, that's a tremendous question, and I don't know the answer, but I think that probably it's something that is mutable or adaptable depending on the response of humanity. I think we are the great question mark. I don't imagine God himself can predict how human beings will ultimately respond. Look at the world today. We don't really know what direction we are heading in. Things are in such crisis and chaos. My sense is that things are heading towards something better through all the crisis and suffering, that we are emerging into a new era of better human relationships. But there are other extremely intelligent people that might have the feeling things are in a state of collapse. So if we can't figure out where we're going, probably God doesn't know either. Humanity's response is unpredictable. And that's why people of goodwill who want to serve the greater good can be of such effect by aligning their forces with those who are working for unity, for brotherhood, for understanding.
I think there is a certain aspect of the plan that is, you might say, fixed in the mind of God. He has his own agenda, his particular purpose that is working out. We don't know exactly what that purpose is, but perhaps it might be summed up in the word redemption. And I think that is kind of a general area where the plan is kind of fixed or set, that this is the process of a redemptive process that we're in the process of working through. And
we should define what redemption means.
Yes, it's essentially the upliftment, and as Christ said, if I be lifted up, all men will be lifted up with me. Yeah, come unto me, or whatever. And it's the lifting up of human consciousness and refinement of human consciousness that will allow the more spiritual values of the soul and of the higher spiritual values to come through and be manifest in the world.
There's an interesting expression from the writings of Alice Bailey on this question of modifying the plan, altering it, that it is the task of the spiritual seeker to modify, qualify, and adapt the proposed plan for the coming civilization. In other words, using our sense of spiritual values, our discretion, our best judgment, and the art of spiritual compromise, spiritual seekers, called in the books of Alice Bailey disciples, have the responsibility for modifying, qualifying, and adapting the plan according to the need of the times, and according to what they hear of the cry of humanity. Because we are a part of humanity, we are living on earth and very much a part of the earthly experience, we are useful to the hierarchy, useful in God's plan, in that we can better intuit the present need of humanity and of the planet. Not only is the plan for humanity, it's for the whole planet. And I think you can see, for example, the work being done in the field of ecology. Those are servers who are very aware of the need and trying their best to present it to humanity as a whole, that the planet is crying out and needs our care and our better judgment and our willingness to sacrifice a bit.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic today is the plan. We're doing part two today, And more about that gift that I promised you earlier. The gift is a pamphlet. It's called The Spiritual Hierarchy, and you're welcome to order that. We'll send it out to you, of course, free of charge. And all you have to do is call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. An easy way to remember the phone number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. 1-866. Think of New York, LUCIS. And call on that number, and once again, we'll send you out the gift that we promised you today. The gift is a pamphlet. The title of it is The Spiritual Hierarchy, and the essence of the show that we're doing today is based on the writing in this, the literature in this pamphlet, The Spiritual Hierarchy. You can find out a bit more about it if you want to go into it in depth. Our website is www.lucistrust.org. Once again, with that, it's www.lucistrust.org. And what you can do with our website is key into our previously archived radio shows. We have many topics. I'm sure you'll enjoy them. It'll keep you busy for quite a while now. We have quite a library that we've developed. And also, all the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We are not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if people want to make more direct contact with the Lucis Trust and its staff, you're welcome to come to our monthly meditation meetings. And please write or call for a meeting schedule, although you can call on Saturdays and Sundays. As far as speaking to a person, you can only do that Monday through Fridays, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So, once again, write to Lucis Trust for donations or any other inquiries that you might have. Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, if you want that gift that we promised you today, give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York, LUCIS. And now we'll return to our questions about the plan. Can we recognize the plan? Can we recognize the plan in the outer visible world?
Well, yes. Depending on what aspect of the world we're looking to, it's said in the writings of Alice Bailey that there are three major departments through which the plan of God is working out in the world, and these departments are government, religion, and education, in the very broadest sense of each of those departments. The example of the plan working out in the world through government, to my mind, would be the work of the United Nations, because it is the only completely planetary, global mechanism that we have for approaching the solutions to world problems. And we all are aware of the weakness of the UN in terms of, for example, the General Assembly. But there is so much more going on in the UN's work that is really quite wonderful. They are working in all kinds of fields, not just with national legislation and treaties and so on, but in the developmental program for the environment, the problem of children through UNICEF and so on. So that's the example, I think, of the plan working out in government.
Yes, and I'd just like to add to that, that about the United Nations, this whole idea is really came through from the inner side, the idea essentially for the old League of Nations, which came about during the 1920s, after World War I. And this idea was impressed upon certain members of the human family, and particularly those aides around President Wilson. Mm-hmm. And President Wilson seized upon this idea and really brought it through and manifested and was very instrumental in manifesting the old League of Nations. Of course, all the countries in the world, and particularly the United States, didn't get behind the idea and back it, so it kind of died off a little bit. But then it was resurrected, thankfully, after World War II, and we have the great institution that we have today. So this is just an example of how these ideas work out from the inner side, from the divine side, into and humanity is an example of how humanity can be impressed. And
I think an example of the plan working out in human affairs through the Department of Religion would be the growing ecumenical movement that brings people of different faiths together to foster more understanding. There have been so many occasions in the last few decades, probably since the 60s, that have increasingly brought religious leaders, but also the many believers of those faiths to together to consider where they have common ground. And this is an indication of the plan, because the plan is meant to foster a sense of interrelationship, of cooperation, and of harmony among all the disparate parts. So any activity that works to bridge differences and to unite is an expression of the plan. The field of education is a little more difficult for me to point to. I don't know if you have any ideas.
I wasn't thinking of the field of education so much as other fields that, particularly the ones that have developed now in the field of economics and in world finance.
Mm-hmm.
These are there's a lot of controversy arising over the globalization of humanity and the economies and mm-hmm. so forth. But it is an idea that is also coming from within, because it is helping humanity, these great world institutions that are being developed, are helping us to develop a world view, a world consciousness. And this is very much in line with the plan, because mm-hmm. synthesis is a characteristic that must develop and is developing through human activities in the world.
I suppose along that line that the Internet is an example of the plan mm-hmm. working out in the field of education, in the sense that it's a means for conveying knowledge instantaneously across tremendous distances, and by uniting or connecting people who otherwise would never contact each other. So the flow of communication, the flow of light, of knowledge, of awareness, of communication is so incredibly advanced by the Internet and by computers in general. Another aspect of the plan working out through education would be the growth of literacy over the past century. I think I read somewhere the difference between the amount of literate people on the earth 100 years ago and now is just tremendous. So this would be an indication that the plan is working out through education by lighting human minds, making them able to think and decide and choose, so that they can, of their own free will, consent to the plan, cooperate with it in their way. You can't possibly ask that of people if they don't have education, if they don't have minds, if they can't think.
It's a powerful prayer that with which we close the show every week, Sarah. And why is it's called the Great Invocation, but why is the Great Invocation called the blueprint of the plan?
Well, Dale may have some ideas on that. I've often pondered on it. A blueprint is a plan of action. It gives the steps that have to be taken to accomplish something. And I think the Great Invocation distills those steps that humanity must take, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it lays out the essentials that have to be worked out, the essential energies of light, the essential energy of love, and the essential energy of the will to good, the will to good, which is the essentially the power to bring about light and love and the will to good in the world. So, and these three essentials are embodied in the Great Invocation.
And you'll notice that the Great Invocation uses as its reference point humanity. And this is a very new thing, according to my understanding. It's a sign of human evolution that humanity is now actively appealed to take its active role in the plan, because the Great Invocation asks or demands that light descend into human minds, that love descend into human hearts, from the heart of God into the human heart, and that the purpose which the masters know and serve express through the human will to good. And the final stanza says, light and love and power, through the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out. So humanity is actively engaged in this plan now. This is very new.
That's why this great invocation was given out in 1945, and it's written about that in the Alice Bailey books, for the very purpose, for as preparation work for the coming great teacher, the world teacher, that is coming at very soon. And this is a central tool, an invocation to invoke this light and love and power and bring those energies into the world and express them. And the Great Invocation is a tremendous tool to accomplish that.
In other words, we have to want light and love and the will to good. We have to ask for it. That's the point of the invocation.
I see. Once again, we have a gift for you today, and to order that gift, please give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. An easy way to remember the number to order that gift, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And that's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.